If you're talking to a machine, should the machine have to tell you that it's a machine? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Microsoft bought a company called Semantic Machines, which works on something called conversational AI. That's computers that sound and respond like humans. Mostly, it's for digital assistants like Microsoft's Cortana or Siri, Alexa, Bixby on Samsung. Last month, Google showed off its smart assistant called Duplex.
How long is the wait usually to be seated?
When, tomorrow or weekday or?
For next Wednesday.
The 7th.
Oh, no, it's not too busy. You can come for 4 people, okay?
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Now, it's clear in that call that the woman doesn't know she's talking to a computer. And that led people to ask, what are the rights of the human on the other end of the line? Jacob Metcalf studies ethics and AI at the Data and Society Research Institute. I asked him first, what's the business case for making computers sound so real?
You know, what's odd about the product that Google showed at their I.O. conference is that it doesn't put that sort of signaling up front. And so you kind of have to conclude that that means they put in effort to, in fact, a lot of effort, right, in order to hide the fact that it is a bot. Something is accomplished by the fact that it's not obvious to the person on the other end that they're talking to an automated machine. None of that conversation required the machine to insert ahs and ums as if it was a human. So then why are they trying to imitate a human? Is it because it looks cool? Or is it because the product's more effective if it's deceptive?
Right.
And is that a trade-off that we should accept as society?
So is it legal to, I mean, is there a wiretapping concern too? Is it legal for them to sort of collect, and this gets into the ethical question of whether these AIs need to identify themselves as not human, but also just to the question of, is it legal for them to collect data about their interactions with people who don't know that they are part of that collection?
Yeah, well, that's certainly an open question. I think it's probably going to be litigated. There's all kinds of ways that they could say that, you know, the algorithmic analysis is not the same thing as a wiretap. However, I really think it's important that we not just focus on the legal question of wiretapping, but also on the question of them making use of other people's time and energy in order to improve their product without those people being aware that they're making that contribution.
I guess the devil's advocate question then is, how is this significantly different from any of the other automated systems that I might interact with? Whether or not I think it's a human, is it different from any of the times that a computer calls me, whether for a robocall or whether, you know, when I interact with an automated system for customer support? How is this different?
Well, if they identify themselves as a bot, I think it's not so different. However, I think it's important to realize that there are ways in which, if I call a restaurant and I make a reservation, that interaction with that other person sort of sets social expectations, right? There's a question here, like, am I more likely to just skip out on the reservation and cost this business money if I used the assistant? Am I more likely to not feel compelled to act as a good citizen? So I think it can be very helpful in some situations. It can be helpful for people who struggle to speak clearly on the phone or have anxiety about social interactions. But it's critically important for us to get some early norms about how this kind of data is collected, how the bots identify themselves, and for these companies to, you know, be clear that as they provide benefits to their users, it's not coming at the cost of the other parties who might not even realize that they're interacting with an automated system.
That's Jacob Metcalf from the Data and Society Research Institute. Microsoft says its acquisition of Semantic Machines will help it, quote, take conversational computing to a new level. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.